Mini-episode 822 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to the FDH Lounge. FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with you today. We are here with one of our favorite recurring guests, Evan Roberts of WFAN in New York. Currently doing middays and has been for a long time, batting cleanup, if you will, at the Yankee Stadium of Sports Talk Radio, WFAN, along with our friend Joe Benigno, who I say that so much sarcastically, as Joe's previous appearance on the show, a little bit heated, as it can be sometimes with him. We've had Evan on any number of times. We are here with him today to discuss the 2017 Final Four. So much going on, and one of our favorite guests to break it all down with, Evan Roberts of WFAN in New York. Evan, good to have you back on the show, my man. How are you today?
Good to be here. Should I try to make it heated like Beningo was the time he came on?
Well, if you got any hot takes about how the Cavs are in trouble right now, that might get the job done. You got any?
No, you guys are going to cruise through the East. Don't be fooled by March. Don't be fooled by February. I mean, I think people need something to talk about. The Celtics aren't beating the Cavs. The Wizards aren't beating the Cavs. The Raptors aren't beating the Cavs. Now, you'll get smoked in the finals. I mean, you know that, but you'll cruise through the East. You got nothing to worry about.
Just like last year, right, Evan? Just like last year when this team was down 3-1. No chance at all.
Very different. It's very different, and you know it, baby.
I know it's very different. Golden State doesn't have nearly the chemistry in there with Curry and Durant this year. So,
Look, it's always possible that Draymond Green does something incredibly stupid that costs his team a game and subsequently a series. By the time the Warriors get to that finals, in fact, okay, here it is. You will win a game in the NBA Finals, a game, one solitary game. The Warriors will beat you in five. Don't be fooled by their regular season. And don't be fooled by their lack of chemistry.
I think it's a coin flip. I still think it could go either way. I'm not overconfident, but nor do I think it's a done deal either. We've seen this team flip the switch, and the depth that they have now, you've got to be sitting there as a Nets fan looking there. You've got to be somewhat impressed with pickups like Darren Williams coming here to chase the ring.
Oh, my God. That is the biggest reason why I want you guys to flop. Like, I like the Cavs. I have nothing against you. But when you pick up a gutless, because that's what he was, completely gutless player like Darren Williams, you deserve to lose because of him.
Well, and how's this for a transitional point here? Well, we can sit here and say with almost certitude at this point what the NBA Finals are expected to be. You certainly can't say that about the college equivalent of this, the Final Four. A year that was looking to be very, very chalk-tastic in the minds of a lot of people as far as the top seeds just kind of blowing through. But I don't think you can say that about what we have here. We do have two number one seeds, but I think they were probably the most lightly regarded of those out there. Gonzaga, because they'd never gotten the job done before, and in fairness, they had to go through a fairly smooth path to get there, so I don't know how much they proved. North Carolina, I think a lot of people are looking past them with Kentucky and UCLA. You've got Oregon in there after losing their big man. You got South Carolina in there. I got to tell you this, occasional WFAN contributor Steve Callis was on our preview show for March Madness. The biggest point of contention about the regional finals at Madison Square Garden seemed to be who was going to have more of a home court advantage, Duke, who has always had a pretty good advantage at MSG, or Villanova, who's right down the road. Meanwhile, what you guys had in your backyard played out completely different. South Carolina and Florida, did football season come early?
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny. I kind of had a feeling when the bracket was set up that something funky would happen where we wouldn't get Villanova-Duke. And I did not expect that neither team would even get to Madison Square Garden. But I mean, that was stunning. Honestly, when you look at the Final Four, and I will admit, I went 0-4. I literally have zero Final Four teams in, which, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are like, I had Kentucky winning the whole thing, so I had to sweat it out in the Elite Eight. But South Carolina getting there, I think more than anything, has to just be one of the more stunning Final Four runs we've seen. I know we've seen some crazy upsets over the years, but they were kind of looked at, you know, going into this tournament as, they're a borderline tournament team, they're not that good, and what they've been able to accomplish, especially the way they destroyed Baylor. I mean, they crushed a pretty good team like Baylor by 20. It wasn't even competitive. It's kind of stunning that they're here, but Gonzaga, you're right. You know, they are a one seed, but they're a one seed in name only, even though they had a nearly flawless season with the exception of the BYU game, and this is probably the best Gonzaga team they've had, specifically defensively. I think we always have just assumed they'll find a way to fall short. And you're right, they had a pretty clear path to get here, but it's still kind of surreal to think that Gonzaga finally, after all these years of expectations, finally were able to break through and get to a Final Four. So it's definitely not what I expected. I don't think many people expected this.
Well, yeah, and you got a game where Gonzaga is playing for a chance to be in the national championship game Saturday, and really they're not the upset story of the game. You kind of figured that they would be, like, oh, can this mid-major finally break through, take another step after making it to the Final Four? But they're playing South Carolina, a school that, again, I think probably points to more than anything else the supremacy of coaching in college basketball. You got a guy like Frank Martin, who's been one of these kind of, you know, pigeonholed as an angry genius over the years, much like Bob Huggins, who was once underneath, probably no coincidence. And the move that he made from Kansas State to South Carolina, a lot of people looked at it like, is that even a lateral move? I mean, you're going from an also-ran team in one power conference to the same thing in another one, and he's gotten the job done there with them. And it's going to be a strange dynamic for Gonzaga to be in this game, because you got to figure that it would, under normal circumstances, be us against the world. We're a number one seed that people don't even believe in because we're a mid-major, because we've constantly fallen short. How are you going to play us against the world when you're playing South Carolina and the world thinks you're going to beat them?
No, I mean, it's in a way, you're a heavy favorite. I mean, when you look at the line, I think the last time I looked at the line, it was 7. So Vegas is basically saying, yeah, we think you're the much better team. You should be in the national championship. And then you got a team like North Carolina that was in the national title game a year ago, facing a pretty good Oregon team who lost one of their key players before the tournament even started. And I think their line's a little bit less than Gonzaga. So you're right. I mean, they're not just favorite. They're kind of a heavy favorite going into this game. So you can't play that underdog card from the small conference. You're supposed to win. And you know what? Let's be honest about this. They lose to South Carolina, I think we're going to look and say, wow, that was a real disaster. They had this clear path towards playing for a national championship. They kind of got a lot of breaks along the way when you look at some of the opponents, you know, going through Xavier, going through Florida. No offense to them, but the road could have certainly been a lot more difficult. And if you can't get past South Carolina, you know, I think if you lose to North Carolina in a national championship game, you say, you know what, hell of a year. They only lost once before this all season long. They got to a title game, you know, good for them. You lose to South Carolina, I don't think we're looking glowingly at this run.
Well, exactly, because if you look at it on paper, they'd be kind of lucky they didn't run into South Carolina in their own bracket. You lose to them here, who's to say that wouldn't have been a second-round loss like what Duke suffered? So, you know, to say that there would be two teams from Tobacco Road in the Final Four, I think we just assumed it was going to be Duke, North Carolina. We get this strange kind of a thing here where it's Tobacco Road v. the Pacific Northwest in both of the games here. So the chance in the championship game for something really funky here. I mean, you talk about a border battle, not very even on paper, but North Carolina, South Carolina, something that would be long remembered if that was it. Or if it's Oregon and Gonzaga, that was something that would kind of have the rest of the country scratching its head, because we still don't kind of tend to pay attention to hoops out there as much as we probably should collectively as a nation. So assuming that we don't get a third Pacific Northwest v. Tobacco Road matchup for the national championship game here, it leaves open some interesting geographic backyard squabbles on Monday night.
Oh, no doubt. And really, no matter what matchup we get, it's not what anybody could have thought we were going to see. Because, like, even if we get the 2-1s going at it, Gonzaga, North Carolina, it still feels weird to think Gonzaga would be playing for a national title. So it's definitely been a fun tournament, and the people are into it. I mean, the ratings are up big time. So the people have bought into this tournament in a big way.
What's the next question I want to ask you? Being there under the CBS banner, CBS having the tournament, being there in the media capital of the world, essentially. What's your sense on if the carryover is going to be to the Final Four in the national championship game? Because a lot of times you get to this point, and it's carried by sort of the legacy programs and if there's any big-name players that are in there and that kind of thing. And this is a Final Four that's as thin on household name players as I can remember in a long, long time. So you don't have that going. You got Gonzaga being somewhat of an underdog in the public eye, even though being a number one for the reasons we've covered. South Carolina, underdogs a lot of times don't tend to do as well in the rankings. Oregon, they're not necessarily an underdog program. They're just kind of one that's there, I think, in the public eye. And then North Carolina, but they're not going to carry the ratings on their own. So do you think the momentum stays up from the standpoint of your employer here and it's going to be robust ratings throughout here? Or do you think that they might be kind of stubbing their toe a little bit at this point?
I think you would think based on, and the point is fair, when you look at some of the star power, when you look at some of the odd schools that are here like South Carolina, Gonzaga, you know, even Oregon, like you mentioned, we don't pay as much attention to the Pacific Northwest. I can't imagine that the ratings are going to, like, beat last year. And one thing I've noticed, at least being in New York, is that we pay attention to the tournament in the prism of who's going to be the next New York Nick. You know what I mean? So, like, the Kentucky-UCLA game, which, you know, it was very entertaining, but it's not like we got a classic finish of that one, was probably the most interesting game of the tournament to New Yorkers because look at all the potential future Knicks we saw in that game. You know, whether it was Lonzo Ball or it was Malik Monk or it was De'Aaron Fox, who, you know, was the best player on the floor. I don't think we have, you know, that laundry list of future NBA studs. But I think, you know, the game sometimes indicated, like, if South Carolina Gonzaga is a one-possession game in the final 2 minutes, I think sometimes with ratings, you know, people start to pick up the chatter of, oh, this is a pretty good game through Twitter and start to tune in more. So I think if we get good classic games, I don't know if we are. I mean, I'm not, you know, convinced Gonzaga won't just blow out South Carolina. But I think if the games are competitive, the numbers will do well. But I never understood, to be honest with you, why the ratings were so up compared to last year. Like, what about this tournament, this season, makes it that much better or more appealing than a year before? You know, I don't see anything noticeable that would cause that. So who knows? Maybe just people in general are more interested in college basketball and not really caring about the matchups.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think we've touched on a couple of things here where we kind of put our finger on that a little bit, not directly. When we opened up by talking about LeBron's team, the Cavaliers, when we were talking a little bit, you were a second ago there about UCLA and Kentucky. This is the biggest draft for pro prospects since the class of 03, I think, easily. I mean, this looks like one of the all-time great draft classes. So you got to think that had a lot to do with it. The hype around so many of these players, the justifiable hype, because a lot of them really look like they could end up being great pros. So that's another interesting thing, too. When you look back at this season, that's probably the biggest story of the season is these guys, and just about all of them one-and-dones, coming in, getting their cup of coffee and moving on. But none of those guys making it to the Final Four. Really interesting. And I go back to the point again about Frank Martin with the South Carolina team here. This is a guy who for a long time people have had their eyes on as being a guy who can really coach above the skill level of the team. And he does it. It's just interesting that it happens in this year, you know, because it shows you that the college game and cohesiveness really still matters. Star power has its place, to be sure, but you look at Villanova last year, you look at South Carolina getting there this year, and in terms of results on the court, it almost seems like that, you know, trumps the star power of all these players in this great draft class.
Yeah, it's funny. We've seen the one-and-done system work with Kentucky a lot, but, yeah, when you look at the four teams that are here, I mean, you got a guy like Sindarius Thornwell who's put up, you know, great numbers and has been great during this tournament. I don't think he's really projected as much of an NBA player. I think like a second-round pick, but he's a senior. You know, he actually stayed 4 years, which you don't, you know, usually see very often. And even North Carolina, I mean, this is a very similar team to a year ago. So, yeah, you've got teams, at least this year, proving that cohesiveness and veterans, guys that aren't just there for a year for a cup of coffee, like you said. And I don't blame them for being there for a cup of coffee. I mean, if you're Lonzo Ball, if you're De'Aaron Fox, why risk injury? Just go to the NBA and make a ton of money. Like, I'll never blame a guy or a kid for wanting to do that. But, yeah, I think this year at least it's been the, staying around, having cohesiveness, and I think that's been the reward for the four schools that are there.
I think that's true. And as far as it goes with Thornwell, you're absolutely right. I think NBADraft.net is projecting him as like a mid-second-round pick, which feels about right. I mean, you look at a guy like that and you think to yourself, that's a guy I'd like to have on the rotation of my team. Now, that's a guy I'd like to build my team around. So the quintessential college star as opposed to a future NBA star. But again, this is a Final Four. I kind of, just to go full circle on that and bring it around to that again, that this is, I thought that was going to be one of the big stories of the Final Four this year, that it, whether it be Duke, whether it be Kentucky, whether it be UCLA, you expected there to be some schools in there that had some of these stars of the future in the NBA. And again, just kind of fascinating. This year of all years, you really don't have the star power there. I don't know that it necessarily means anything, but at the very least, it's an interesting coincidence. This is the year the Final Four doesn't have a lot of star power when there was so much of it around at so many top programs.
Oh, yeah. And like you said, we may be looking back at like that UCLA-Kentucky game years from now, looking at the box score of that game and saying, my God, it was an all-star game. I mean, we very well could be looking at that,
yeah.
Especially with, you know, even T.J. Leaf, I think, is considered a first-round pick. And Monk, we mentioned, and Fox. So it's funny, we may look back at that game and say, my God, there were five NBA all-stars on the floor at the same time.
That's a great point. That might be the basketball equivalent of, I want to say maybe it was like the 2011 Alabama-LSU game. I think when you look at the defenses on those squads, they were just loaded with future NFLers. I think you're right that this game is probably going to be the equivalent of that one. Always fun talking about with you, Evan. Thank you so much for coming on with us, as always.
Anytime, my friend. Enjoy WrestleMania.
You too. Enjoy it, Evan. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Great Evan Roberts, everyone, from WFAN in New York, joining us today. Thank you for being here with us, Evan. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.